Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
Welcome to the 9v9 portion of our game level discussions. This is all building from previous discussions in the 7v7 game and just getting an idea from coaches out there on Twitter or just general conversations and backgrounds around what the 9v9 game should really be about for our players. What do we prioritize? How do we set up for either progressing from 7v7 or moving into 11v11? But before I really get into that, I want to kind of recap on what 7v7 brought to us in the previous episode. Think about the amount of opinion that people are happy to give. Of course, everyone has an opinion on things, but when we look at the 7v7 game, there is so much, and it seems there's so much that we're so eager to teach our players that we find ourselves caught between working on things like technique, working on things like game models and tactics and positioning. Then you go through different styles of play, so teaching things like building out of the back and maintaining possession. There is the setup of the field that is a factor to consider for 7v7 soccer with things like the build-out line. Some places don't even have throw-ins at 7v7, which I'm a huge advocate of. But I think if you have a plan and kind of the whole episode summed up with saying you go forward or you go back. You go back from 11v11 all the way to 7v7, or you build from 4v4 into 7v7 and then along the pathway into 11v11. But you really understand at 7v7 where your players are coming from or where your players are going to. And I think that you need to have both, which brings us into the 9v9 game. So let's start with what's different about the 9v9 game from 7v7. Of course, two extra players on the field. The build-out line has gone. Maybe you played in a league at 7v7 where they might let you retake throw-ins if you had throw-ins. They may let you retake things like corners or goal kicks that maybe just fell short or didn't quite go right. Now you're looking at 9v9 soccer and it's more serious. There's more of a consequence for not doing things correctly. There is less mercy, if you like, that a foul throw results in an immediate turnover to the other team. Or we're looking at things like the build-out line now in 9v9 is not there, of course. So then everything that you were taught in how to build out and giving you the protection and the allowance to get the ball into the game first has gone. So now you've got your players who previously were afforded a little bit of luxury and a little bit of time on the ball, now they've suddenly got players running at them straight away. We can still use the penalty area as our own build-out area if we're clever, because they can't come into that area, but we can go in there. So suddenly that build-out becomes just a quick two-yard pass if that's how you want to continue to play. But there's no other restriction. Just two extra players, a larger field, slightly bigger goals if you play according to the correct goal sizes. Most of us will probably just play with the 7v7/9v9 goals because that's what's on our local fields. But then we're looking at how do we set our players up from 7v7 and to get ready for 11v11. It's kind of like the middle child. We're not really sure what to do with it because a lot of the feedback I got in terms of 9v9 soccer was really just about building on what you'd already done, which I think is a really valid point that you continue along the pathway. So therefore you look forward or you look back and build up or build back. However you set yourself up for your year or your club or your organization, it has to continue. There has to be a continuation. There can't be a sudden change because at 7v7 you didn't quite learn enough or you decided to make a change in what you were going to do and suddenly everything that you were doing before has now changed and suddenly your players are going long because we decided to change our overall formation and we're just going to kind of throw caution to the wind on that one a little bit. So I think you have to be really careful in terms of preserving what you'd started from 7v7 and staying the course going forwards. Doesn't mean that there's not ever going to be changes or ways to really get into adapting the game, whether that's based on the opponent, based on the situation, or just an overall philosophy adjustment. And I think that we owe it to ourselves to continuously adapt and to change. But to recreate something, I think, is not what our players need from us. It's not what our families need from us. If you've listened to a lot of the things I've said over the couple of years I've been doing this podcast, I look at building a foundation, building an IDP, building an identity, building a game model. and I don't think that you would be well served to completely rip it up. Now, of course, during COVID, there's been lots and lots of online education, and I can only imagine the amount of seminars that you've probably listened to and tweets that you've read and books that you've read that have challenged everything that you are. But I hope that that has begun to take shape in your model and in your approaches, just with slight tweaks. And I do the same thing where I read a book or I listen to a podcast and I think, man, that's the best thing ever. I need to do that. And then think about changing everything. And then over time, a couple of days, a couple of hours even, think about how maybe it just fits in slightly, or how I need to just make a little bit of a change that I just don't have to go and change everything immediately. And I think that's how we need to set ourselves up to look after our 9v9 players. So US Soccer says at 9v9 or U11 and U12, players are a player fulfilling their role within a team. And they understand their position, they understand their demands as it relates to their position within the overall game. I'm a central midfielder, here is my position profile, here is what I need to do to be successful in this game. We're not quite at the level of being able to play for the team. We're not able to be in a place that says this player is the ultimate part of this team. For 9v9, for the most part, it's still, I am the individual fulfilling my role as a central midfielder. And you may be able to identify this when you pull your 9v9 players together and you say, okay, who in this small-sided game, who in this friendly game, or our goalkeeper hasn't showed up, we need a goalkeeper, or our centre-back hasn't shown up and we need a centre-back, or you pick somebody to go and fulfill one of those positions because you believe in them, and there's a look of horror. Because they understand their role and their position for the team, but they don't understand fitting into the team overall. I begin to build this in things like position profiles. So a central midfielder may have a position profile that requires them to play through balls into the channels. And then add some complexity to that that says, if I'm playing right central midfield and I play a through ball in for the number seven, part of my behavior post-passing is to move up and begin to close that space where we are now exposed. So the number seven has gone after the ball, perhaps around the edge of the penalty area. Maybe he loses the ball, or maybe she gets tackled. Now the number eight should have already begun to move into that space to play against any sort of counterattack, to divert any sort of attention away from that area where we would have otherwise been exposed. So now I can begin to build the player's role within the team, within the greater team action, because it's not just them fulfilling one thing as a central midfielder, but there is a relationship that we need to have with players across the team. We're looking at key qualities of 9v9. Players need to remain calm and composed. So regardless of if you've gone from 7v7 and looking forward to 11v11, or if you're looking back from 11v11 to 7v7 and this is the stepping stone that the players need to be taking, they still need to be calm and composed. They still need to be technically proficient. So a lot of those focuses from 7v7 where we're trying to get as much in as possible, I think it's really important to recognize that we don't have to teach it all in those 2 years of 7v7. We should really start a lot of this at 4v4. But the technical training, now we're calling it proficiency, should just be a continued brick-by-brick building that we are now beginning to round out. These players are beginning to be more and more comfortable with the ball at their feet, so that a lot of the game actions required of them are more about execution than they are about the technique of actually putting the ball into the space. It's more about the decision that led to that moment. Are the players coordinated? Are they adaptable and flexible? Can they step up when it's required? Can one of them go and play at right defense when the team absolutely needs it because our right defender just got injured? Beyond that, are the players always involved? Notice the 7v7 podcast was all about how we can train our kids or what we should be focusing on for our kids. Now it's just continuing. We're looking at players remaining involved. We're looking at players being able to understand their role within the greater game just that little bit more. When everybody shifts across the field to defend the ball coming down our left, their right, we need our right back to be able to tuck inside and not just worry about the opponent's number 11, but actually worry about the space that's between him and the defenders that have continued to shift. Do they understand this? Can they perform that? Are they still involved? At 7v7, you could be forgiven for having players standing on the halfway line as a striker, waiting for the ball to come to them. Could be forgiven, maybe not. Same for defenders that move up the field and then suddenly stop on the halfway line because they think they're defenders and they can't cross that line. We should really address that at 7v7, but it should definitely be addressed at 9v9. So we've gone from the simple teaching as much as we can at 7v7 to really refining what the 9v9 game will look like, because then we're going to jump to 11v11. We're going to add two more players. We're going to go full size. Eventually, we're going to be playing 45 minutes from 30 minutes. So now we've got an extra 30 minutes total game time over the next couple of years to try and actually put this thing together that soccer has been nice to us at 7v7. It's a little tougher at 9v9 because now we've got to actually deal with no build-out line. We've got to deal with a more harsh environment for us to play in. So now, can we keep our players involved? Can we keep them able to stay within the game? I want to round out this episode based on 9v9 with the recommended style of coaching from US Soccer, and that's to follow the play, practice, play setup. Well, we start with an element of a game. It's broken down into a smaller element of a game. It's an element of a practice that's going to address what we were working on in the play. And then we revisit the play. These are 60-minute sessions at most. We're really looking at familiarizing players from the start all the way through the practice, where we're learning to guide them through what we're trying to teach them, what we're trying to learn, what we're trying to prepare for, either in the big picture or week to week with training. And then we're going to finish with the game and have the players implement what they've been working on for the last two parts of the practice. Notice that it's about giving these players game experience. It's about putting them into the situations that they would experience in a game as much as possible, and then still giving them the idea that they can practice this. We can make it much more friendly for them to take that element of the game that we did and then use it in a practice. And I think that's a really distinctive moment for the 7v7, as this from 7v7 to 9v9, the stepping stone of going into still allowing an element of practice and drill, if you want to call it a drill, really pushing them into learning and applying in that second stage. Now, we still use play, practice, play in 7v7, but I think you can really hammer a little harder in this practice element on the demands and then really go into that second play phase and expect to see the results from the practice. We're giving them game experience importantly. If we look at 11v11, my preferred way of working through 11v11 is going to be to have a small-sided game. A small-sided game that will go into a bigger game, or maybe it just starts big and it stays big, where the manipulation is done through the game and not necessarily from changing from a play to a practice into another play. But we still afford our players the situation, the system, the setup that allows them to identify what the problem is. It allows them to isolate that problem and work on it with the coach's guidance and then put them back into play. And I think this is really important for our players. It's still a stepping stone. It's still not that they can go and train by playing a game for an hour without really grasping what we're trying to teach them, what we're trying to get them to take away from it. So I think it's really important that we look at the level of our training and if it's appropriate to the 9v9. Again, it's a build on what the 7v7 environment was, and we're just taking that stepping stone. 9v9 is that strange age. It's 2 years. We're getting ready to play, and I think it's really important to have added the setup from 7v7, 9v9, 11v11 instead of the old way of 8v8 to 11v11. So I think this is really important for these players to have this time of 9v9, and I don't think that players need to be jumping up too soon. See a lot of teams that will maybe try and just go straight to 11v11, or they'll do things like train with a size 5 soccer ball because they think it's important to get them ready for 11v11. But there's so much more that you can use within this 2 years to get them ready for 11v11. It's all part of your game model. It should all be part of your environment and your club development program that you are now understanding the pathway that you're on. And if you're not on a pathway, if it's just a hopefully we'll figure it out from 7v7 to 9v9, go back to the 7v7 podcast and listen to the opinions of people who are talking that work either way, back from 11v11 or forward from 7v7, and begin to plot out what your 7v7 was like and then build on it. And then in preparation for what 11v11 is going to be like, begin to shape that pathway for your players to get ready for 11v11. And I think that's the best service we can give our players at this level. Understand they're not 11v11 competitors yet. Understand that this 2 years is a gift for them to enjoy the game, but then also begin to take it just that little bit more serious, to remain involved, to remain competitive, and to really get their feet under them in terms of playing the real game without the restrictions from 7v7, and then be ready to go to 11v11 and not just jump there straight away. To wrap this all up, as I mentioned at the start, 7v7, when I asked for that feedback and that opinion on Twitter, I got a lot of information, I got a lot of opinion. Then I look at the other side of it now, where I put the same information and request out for 9v9, and I didn't get all that much. It seems to be a much of the same, follow the pathway and away you go. But I want to know from you, do you have a pathway? Do you have something that you are following along on? Do you have a goal in mind for every player, for your team, for where they're going to be when they hit that 11v11 level? I want to know what you're doing. I want to know what you have followed and where you're going with it. Please let me know. Always follow me along at TheDoneSoccer.com.